Brooks' official claims Pierre Trillon lied about his father's health just to be deported from the United States. And across the border, Zimbabwe's so-called crocodile gets two more years in power, but a potential court challenge looms large. Plus, seven other stories you may have missed in the week that was. My name's Graham Robenheimer. This is News 24's Unread. But we begin with this story and the consequences of being adversely implicated before the Matlanga Commission in Pretoria are now slowly being realized in a court of law. This week, four senior past and present members of the city of Ekurhuleni appeared in a Germiston court charged with corruption. This group, including the Metro's suspended Deputy Police Chief Julius Mkonazi, were arrested by members of the commission's task team earlier in the week. Prosecutors allege former Ekurhuleni city manager Imogen Mashazi, ex-city head of legal services advocate Kemi Bahari, and ex-HR head Linda Klasheka all colluded to shield Mkonazi from an internal disciplinary committee, and once done, Bahari and Klasheka got salary increases to the collective tune of 2.6 million rand. Mkonazi too got unlawfully placed in a higher salary bracket, according to the state. All of this despite a report by the police watchdog IPED recommending that Mkonazi be disciplined. And this report was brought on by investigations by News 24's Jeff Wicks, who uncovered how Mkonazi's so-called blessed corruption co-accused Vusi Musi Kat Matlala with his own Blue Lights Brigade. Both Mkonazi and Bahari have since gotten bail. Meanwhile, the president's given the Matlanga Commission more than 2 months now to finish its work. That means that we'll probably see the final report of recommendations around the middle of November, just after the municipal elections. To this now, these days it appears the financially beleaguered city of Johannesburg is stumbling from one service delivery setback to another. But at least now, residents' rubbish is being removed. Updating the media this week after Treasury pulled Joburg's July funding, Mayor Dara Marrero revealed pickup trucks are doing the rounds again, after some ratepayers complained that their refuse hadn't been taken away in at least 3 weeks. The mayor says delayed payments to pick it up lie at the core of the problem, but that's being sorted now, apparently. A key issue for Treasury, meanwhile, is that a large portion of Joburg's budget remains unfunded. But speaking to News 24, Marrero insists their talks are bearing fruit.
We have resolved quite significantly a number of issues that we've raised. Part of them was a funded budget, whether is it funded or unfunded. We can confirm the 2026-2027 budget is fully funded, and that has been approved by the assessment done by National Treasury. We've also confirmed the issue around equitable share, which the minister had said if we do not comply with certain issues, they will then withhold our equitable share. So we can confirm that we will have those letters confirmed by Eskom and Rainwater by tomorrow. Those acknowledgements will be done, and once they are done, we'll submit to National Treasury and we will then receive our equitable share, which we have also taken a decision as the city that we'll be paying Eskom and Rainwater 962 Rainwater, and a balance of about 1.4 or so will then be paid to Eskom. In that case, it eases the pressure on the city on issues of electricity or bulk purchases.
Moving to some good news for a change, and in a first for South African school pupils, seven talented Western Cape teens are due to be jetting off to NASA's HQ in Florida very soon. That's after coming out tops in the local version of a space design competition. These seven pupils from schools across the province have each won a ticket to NASA's Kennedy Space Center. That's after rocketing through South Africa's first ever space settlement design competition at the University of Cape Town. In an 18-hour challenge, these teens had to design a sustainable moon settlement for up to 600 people. They'll now represent South Africa in the global version of the very same competition. And for Mitchell's Plain pupil Zayan Abdurrahman, this will be her first time even leaving the Western Cape. She's running a backer buddy to make the US trip even that more memorable. In one of our feature stories in this edition of Unread, the Hawks investigating officer, who's brought the criminal charges against disbarred attorney Pierre Trillon, now alleges that he lied to a US judge about his father having prostate cancer back home just so that he could be deported from the United States. Back in a Pretoria courtroom dock this week facing fraud, theft and corruption charges relating to his alleged role in the facilitation of the dodgy sale of numerous properties belonging to the city of Joburg, the Hawks' Ursula Francisco Herfith brought papers opposing Pierre's bid for bail, citing the man's official legal wranglings in the United States. Herfers found that Piet begged a US judge to release him from detention, claiming that not only were his lungs failing, but his father was quote-unquote dying of prostate cancer in South Africa. But Herfers states that Viljoen's sister knows nothing about their father's apparent diagnosis. In Piet's affidavit, meanwhile, he lays the blame for his and his wife Mal's arrest for shoplifting in the US squarely on her, and she in turn nodded when this was read out in court. Outside, a group of people picketed in support of Piet, but refused to speak to News24's Ivan Pierce. Meanwhile, in a move to quote-unquote protect the integrity of our community, Back a Buddy has since pulled the legal funds crowdfunding campaign for Piet's court case. Friend Tammy van der Merwe told News24 she launched the failed bid to help Piet with these quote-unquote substantial legal fees. Yet only 3,500 of the 400,000 rand goal was finally realized before Back a Buddy pulled it, promising to refund those donors. For now, Piet remains behind bars in Nkosi Mampuru II prison in Pretoria, with his case resuming on the 23rd of July. Moving to news across the border, it's now official, it's law. In a move that appears to be ripped from that old Mugabe playbook, the so-called crocodile of Zimbabwe, President Emmerson Mnangagwa, is going to stay in power for at least 4 more years. This week, the president, who had ousted Robert Mugabe following a 2017 coup, altered Zimbabwe's constitution to extend his presidential term to 2030. This gives Mnangagwa 2 more years in power than what the 2 past elections in ZANU-PF's favor had allowed. The party continues to enjoy the parliamentary majority, as years of brutal repressions only weakened the official opposition. Criticized widely, these new constitutional changes extend a president's term from 5 to 7 years and gives parliament the power to elect leaders directly without a popular vote. But a well-known human rights lawyer, Doug Coltart, says Mnangagwa's bill is wide open to being challenged in the courts precisely because no referendum was held on the matter.
The bill is no longer a bill. It is part of our law. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it is lawful or that it can't be challenged. It can be challenged. And one of the many grounds on which that it will be challenged is that the process by which the constitution was amended was not done lawfully.
Back home now, and rather steer clear from picking and eating wild mushrooms this winter. That's the warning from Western Cape authorities following an apparent recent rise in cases of poisoning. Watch out for the deadly death cap mushroom, which is often easily mistaken for being edible, but may cause short-term liver failure. Stellenbosch University's Tigerberg Poisons Information Center told News24 that there have been at least 5 cases of mushroom poisonings in the past 2 weeks alone, and all of them have been in Cape Town. Thankfully, no one's died. But with fungi foraging all the rage online these days, local experts say the rule of thumb is this. Mushrooms with the sponge under the cap are generally okay to eat, but ones with gills like a fish aren't. Still, I'd say if you're not sure, rather give it a miss. Back to municipal matters, and the crumbling Emfuleni municipality has a new mayor in town, who's inherited an almost insurmountable mountain of service delivery problems. But it appears Hassan Markel isn't blind to the core underlying issues at play here. From severe financial mismanagement to growing rubbish heaps and pothole-ridden roads, News24's Ntwakhai Saleka has exposed in a series of weekly reports just how bad things have gotten in the Vaal. New Emfuleni mayor Hassan Markel has admitted that the municipality's debt to Eskom and Rand Water, to the collective tune of 9.7 billion rand, has greatly hurt the council's ability to deliver services. Emfuleni, like Johannesburg, is one of the 69 councils Treasury withdrew grant funding for this July. But Marco says they've since met to ring-fence funding to pay off the massive debt, and he's ordered the immediate payment of subcontractors who are down tools over unpaid invoices for a major road project in Bopalong. To this now. Anele Tembe's tragic but puzzling fall from a Cape Town hotel is due to be interrogated further in a fresh Cape Town court inquest this coming week. Former Police Minister Becky Cele once confirmed there to be possible foul play in the death of the former partner to rapper Keenan, aka Forbes. Forbes himself was murdered in a brazen shooting in Durban not long after the incident, with Tembe's father Moses, a prominent businessman, denying speculation that he'd been involved here. The News24 teams released a special 16-minute look at the final moments before Anele's tragic fall through the lens of hotel CCTV cameras. Here's a sneak peek.
What are you doing? fell from the 10th floor.
Heading off now with sport in one of our trending topics across News 24 this week. A junior Springbok has tested positive for doping. Prop Kai Pratt's facing a possible suspension from rugby after the test had revealed the alleged use of a quote-unquote anabolic steroid. The junior bok was tested in April before the under-20 rugby championship in Gqeberha. Pratt, however, has since opted for his B sample to be tested as well, but the SA Institute for Drug-Free Sport can't say when this is due to happen. The 18-year-old Shark star must still have a hearing post the B sample test in which he may defend or confess to the charge and a possible ban. Pratt turned heads when he pitched for the Springboks alignment camp back in March. Hopefully by the time you're watching this, South Africa would have thumped Scotland in that second Nations Championship clash, and Norway would have beaten England to make it to the next round of the World Cup. My name's Graham Robenheimer, and cheers for now.